a blessing for me. I don't know, you know what I'm saying? Some it hasn't been. Mm-hmm. But for me, 2020 has brought the inner gangster out of me. Mm-hmm. Where I had that moment, it was like, okay, like God had to bring me back somewhere, take me back to where I came from so that I could become the person that he designed me to be. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't afraid to go back. That's the blessing. That's the mess.
Welcome to Cocktails and Combo. I am Sharina, aka XOXO Sharina on Instagram and Twitter. Today is Wednesday, so that means I'll be pairing up with the co-host. We'll be sitting back, sipping wine, and discussing the topic of the week. If you haven't already, click that subscribe button and sit back and enjoy today's episode. Hey, y'all. Hey, today I'm here with my girl, Mashiya, and I'm really excited about this conversation. We will be doing this virtually, sitting safely, of course, and we'll come together collectively to talk about today's topic right after this break. Hey, friend, let's talk about goals. Weight loss goals, glow up goals, hair goals, and for those that want to make a little extra money, let's talk about side hustle goals. As a health and lifestyle ambassador, I paired up with It Works to offer you slimming gummies, which attacks your pinchable fat. That means stomach fat and back fat, Betty. Sis, gone. All from taking gummies. No caffeine, no stimulants added. Now, who knew that glowing up started from the inside? Just celery and super greens can definitely help you with that. We also offer skin products for those that like face masks or beauty products. If you're interested, we have that as well. Now for my queens that are looking to lose some weight this year, we offer the Slimming Gummies. And then we also offer Skinny Brew Coffee, which is definitely one of my faves. However, if you're not a real coffee drinker and you don't want something that strong, no problem. We have keto coffee that will work best for you. Now let's not talk about that Thermophyte X. With these products, you can definitely lose up to 30 pounds in 90 days. Did you hear me? 30 pounds in 90 days. Talk about hitting goals this year. If you're interested in getting a jump start on your body goals, head over to xoxosharina.com and click It Works in the menu and become a loyal customer today. Now, please read the loyal customer description thoroughly before submitting an order. Now, for those that have side hustle goals, let's accomplish that in the next break. Now on with the show. So as you know, this podcast is appropriately named Cocktails and Combo. So of course, we can't start the conversation without discussing our cocktails. However, disclaimer, it is January, so we both discussed previously, there will not be cocktails today. We will be sipping wine. So you start, you let me know, what are you over there sipping on?
I am actually drinking rosé by Black Girls Wine. Rosé is actually my favorite wine, so that's what I had left on my, it's by Black Girl Magic, I'm sorry, Black Girl Magic Wine. So that's what I'm drinking today.
I have yet to find it around here. I might have to just place the order because I can't. I'm sure it's somewhere. I just have to look for it. So I am over here drinking, I have red wine. I have 19 Crimes, the Snoop Dogg edition, which is California red wine.
Okay. All right, Snoop.
I'm in love. As I fell completely in love with this wine. So this will probably be like my go-to red wine.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to try it. I didn't even know Snoop had a wine.
Yep, he has a wine, and I do believe he came out with a gin not too long ago as well. But the 19 Crimes is a collaboration. I want to say the gin is actually his.
Okay.
I do believe. I'm not a gin drinker at all. I'm completely against it, so that's as much as I know about the gin.
Right. I'm not a gin drinker either. They can have that.
Right. So now that you know what we're sipping on, let's jump right into the topic. So today's topic is Christian but ratchet. So are you ready for this combo?
I'm ready.
Okay. So as I get older, I've basically come to the conclusion
that I can't, and at this point, I'm just not going to live without God. I need God every day.
Right.
At this point, it's like every hour of every day. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, not everybody feels that way. That's completely fine. Some people are out there thugging it out.
Right.
And that's them. But as for me, I can't, I'm not about to do it. However, I'm still me. I'm me. I'm who God created me to be. And I've come to the realization that at this point, that's okay. So I am who I was created to be. And I'm also a child of God. Right. So have you got to the point where you're comfortable with the concept of you are completely who you've been created to be, but at the same time, you're still in the kingdom?
Right. So, yes, I will say I have got very comfortable with who I am now that I know that God has, who he has called me to be. Mm-hmm. And at everyday enlightenment, you know, you're still sometimes in caught in the middle of who you used to be. And I'm not saying like, you know, maybe like places you used to go or people used to hang with, but sometimes maybe like who you are, like when it comes to music or when you handle some type of, you know, some kind of situations and stuff like that, it's still a little hood in me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, but I chose to, as I gotten closer to God, I chose to take that ratchetness and apply it to my everyday life, like massive action, maybe like aggressive to my spiritual life, if that makes mm-hmm. sense. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's basically where I'm at. Like sometimes, you know, they say, what is it? Evil manners. What is it? Corrupt. Evil character corrupts good manner. I don't know, something like that. You know what I mean? But, you know, sometimes, you know, when I get in a feeling or in a mood, I need to listen to, like, you know, some of my, you know, motivation, you know, might be like Rick Ross or Jay-Z or something like that. But I also have my all-time gospel favorites as well, mm-hmm. which put me in a different, you know, different mode as well. So, yeah, I need God every day. You know, I can't. I'm one of those people who need him. Like, I won't be successful without him, you know what I mean? So I'm what you want that too.
So let's go back a little bit. My upbringing was, I feel like, a healthy balance, I'll say. Mm-hmm. Church, I guess church and street, but then when you take it from like a musical standpoint, gospel and hip hop. My mom right. was still hip hop. My grandparents were heavy gospel. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I have a decent balance. But I think at one point in life, I struggled with being okay letting that balance. Have you went through that, or should I say, did you go through that where, you know, I had church, but then sometimes when you switch, I guess, revert back, did you feel guilty or shameful, like I shouldn't be that way?
Okay, so my background as well, was very, you know, church was foundation. My mother's side of the family are heavy believers. My great-grandfather was like the head deacon and like labeled as a praying warrior. Mm-hmm. And then my uncle is a pastor. So I was raised in the church. My father's side is street. My father was a very street individual, very wise individual. So I always felt like I had balance because I had the best of both worlds. Mm-hmm. But when I stand firm, you go always stand on God's side, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So at a point in my life, I was never I don't think I was ever ashamed. I think I was very comfortable with who I was, but it made a lot of people uncomfortable, if that makes sense, because there are so many people who are a certain kind of way inside, and then they portray a certain kind of way of outside because of the spiritual judgment or how they may look or whatever, but you can never really hide what's inside. You know what I'm saying? So it will always come out. But then when it come out, it's kind of like swept under the rug. Me, I was kind of like, this is who I am. You know, there's no, I never wanted anybody to misunderstand me, if that makes sense. So if you watched me, you watched me grow into a spiritual woman, not a church-going woman, if that makes sense, because I feel like there's a difference between the two.
Mm-hmm. There is.
And anybody who knew me, like if I was out here partying or whatever the case may be, they always knew that I was a believer. So, and that I, you know, I love God and Jesus was a part of my life, but I'm still a sinner, if that makes sense. So I never tried to put like I was holier art than thou because I was still growing, but you would never misunderstood. Like I'm still a writer for God. You know what I mean? Like people who know that about me. So I don't think I kind of like struggle. I think it was more so this was, I always aspired to be great. I never wanted to be a piece of shit. If you know what I'm saying? So when you strive for greatness, you make mistakes, you own up to it, you know, and you continue to grow. So I always aspired to be filled with greatness. So I kind of like never kind of like tried to, you know, kind of like facade. Like I never wanted to live up with a facade. Like I wanted you to know I am a Christian. I am a believer and I'm still struggling. I still like things and it takes maturity to eventually say no to the things that you like to really be a faithful follower and believer of Christ, if that makes sense.
So you didn't go through, basically what you're saying is you allowed yourself to grow by little by little, but you didn't go through that whole perfection or I feel like it's a mask. Like we walk into church and we put this mask on, walk in, and we morph into whoever it is we feel like we're supposed to be in church. And then when we leave the church, like the actual building itself, when we leave, that mask comes down. So you never tapped into that. You let yourself be more spiritual and grow.
Right. Because I felt like when I went to church, like as a child growing up, like, you know, you struggle, like I struggled with who I wanted to be. I had situations growing up, like, you know, where, you know, my grandmother may have wanted me to be a certain kind of way and I wasn't, you know, so it was more so like I had my father in my ear telling me, God made you who you are and you be exactly that. Don't try to pretend to be nobody that you're not, you know. Mm-hmm. So you have those things in your ear. And then, you know, that was like at a young age, like I want to say like 13, 14 or whatever, because everybody is having identity issues at that time.
Right.
But it wasn't more so spiritual. I got saved very young. I was 21 when I got saved. But I didn't fall in love with God until I actually went astray on my own experienced my own life experiences and adversities. But I always was a person who stood on my own, whether I was wrong or not. I had to deal with God either way, if that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? So yes, the shame came in, not for other people, but through God. Like, damn, God, I know better than this. You know what I'm saying? Like that, you know, that's accountability. I had my own accountability, if that makes sense. I don't know if it was just something that was in me that just always wanted to be stand up or, you know, but I didn't really struggle with a mask. And when I went to church, you know, I went to church and I would like, you know, mm-hmm. and then when I got out, I felt like I was the same person I was in church and outside. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't really in it. I was just taught to go to church.
Mm.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. I think that's what a lot of people struggle with. We're taught to go to church.
Right. Yeah, it was like the traditional thing. Every Sunday you get up and you take your butt to church. You know what I mean? Like, you know, especially if you have a major influence with your grandparents, you know, that was their thing. That was their tool. You know what I mean? So I think that was basically, but my, you know, like my great grandfather, he always made me comfortable, even though he knew, I mean, he used to say little things like, keep going out there in them streets. You just little side, you know, shy, like little shots, but not judging, but obviously giving you something to think about, you know what I mean? And you know, I used to be embarrassed, like, because, you know, you look, when I was 21, I lived with my great-grandfather and my aunt, and I used to be out partying all the time, and something always happened when I got, you know, when I went out, like either somebody broke into my car or a fight or somebody got shot, you know, it was just major stuff. And I remember coming in one night before a church, and I fell asleep. I was so drunk, I fell asleep in the shower. And my grandfather was real big on hot water, like leaving water for him to take his shower.
Don't use up all the hot water.
Yes, girl. And I fell asleep in the shower, girl, with the shower running. That's how drunk I was, okay? And my aunt comes in and she gave me this look like with disgust, okay? She said, you got 2.5 seconds to pull your shit together. Pull yourself together. And I'm like, yeah, I know. And I'm like, dang, I wonder if Granddad know. That's all I was worried about, is if she told him or if he knew. You know what I'm saying? And I'm getting ready. And I'm laughing like, this is so embarrassing. Like, you know, you had those conversations, which is, I'm not drinking no more. You know, I'm not going out no more. And I walk out, and my grandfather, he was the type of person, he didn't really say anything. He just gave me this look. And the look that he gave you made you feel so bad about yourself. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He just gave me this look. And he, you know, it was a nickname that he gave his grandkids. It was like Woody. He's like, Woody, you keep playing out there in them streets, it's going to be bad. What you keep going out there for, you know? And I'm like, oh, Granddad, I'm just having fun. You know what I mean? But he never passed judgment. I think his prayer was always this. And I used to, me and my cousins used to laugh about this, because I'm like, I think Granddad used to put a curse on us. And I'm like, what you mean? His prayer, girl, was so crazy. And I didn't understand it until I became an adult. But he used to say, trouble him, Lord. Take him through whatever you have to take them through to bring them closer to you.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? And we done been through some things. Not everything was the devil. A lot of the things was you. You know what I mean? Your free will. You choosing to do what you want to do and not even thinking about the repercussions behind the things that you do. You know? I've never been that person to acknowledge the devil that much power over my life. So some things, you know, you just did, even though you knew it was wrong, you did it because you wanted to do it, you know? So yeah, that's pretty much where my blessings come in from, is always knowing, but not doing. That if you knew better, you do better, but sometimes you know better and still don't do better. If that makes sense.
I think you take into consideration at some point the consequences. Like,
right.
21. Yeah, I'm going to drink. I'm going to have fun. You're not going to think about nothing. You're just thinking about this instant gratification of having fun right now. When you start trickling up, you know, you hitting 30s. It's like, come on now. I got to do better.
Yeah, you got to do better. Like, what is wrong? You know what I'm saying? And you know, we was always taught, like, by a certain age, you're supposed to have this, or you're supposed to be here, and you still moving a certain kind of way as a 19-year-old and you 30. I mean, what are you learning?
Right.
You know.
I love that prayer, though. It's a mature prayer.
Yes, girl.
Very mature, but it's it's necessary, because if you don't have those troubles, why would you turn to God in the first place?
So
you,
in the first place, you gotta go, right?
You got to go through what you need to go through.
Mm-hmm.
I love
that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So do you feel like, I guess I should move a little bit into this ratchet part of the conversation.
Hey sis, you. Yes, you. The one that said she would get out of her comfort zone in 2021? Or the one that said she was going to launch her own business? Or are you the one that said in 2020 you would no longer live paycheck to paycheck? Or maybe you're the one that's been watching us from the sidelines wondering if you should give this brand ambassador lifestyle a go. Well, you'll never know unless you shoot your shot. And guess what? It's only $39 to enroll today. $39. If you're ready to join, or if you want more information, text me directly at 248-677-1515. Once again, text me directly, the word join, to 248-677-1595. Talk to you later.
It's hard to say ratchet because, you know, words change. So at one point it was ghetto.
And right.
Something else before that. But I classify like that whole group of words.
I mean, I feel like ratchet is somebody with no ethical background, no morals, no values, just limitless to intelligence. That's what I think it is.
Mm.
You know, a high volume of ignorance. That's what I think ratchet is. You know, ghetto always works with me because I got family members that do ghetto shit, but I don't think that they're ratchet. I don't think that they're ignorant. I don't think that they're intelligent. They just do ghetto stuff. You know what I mean? I've done some ghetto stuff. You know what I'm saying? I still do, especially when it comes down to like fixing something. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is so ghetto. Well, it's going to work for right now. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I you know, that's what I feel ratchet is, you know. You know, you still do ghetto things. I mean, I still do ghetto things, but I don't think it's ratchet. You know what I mean? So I don't know. Everybody has their own definition of these culture words, you know. I don't know. What would you say your definition of ratchet is?
To me, they're all wrapped up in the same, because I think it just depends on the year, depends on what we're calling it. And it, to me, when I think ratchet or ghetto, it's all, it can be a person that's definitely a product of their own environment. So, you know, that level of ignorance is going to be there because they just don't know.
Right.
But then it also has a look to it as well. And I think that's the portion of the ratchetness that
right.
I applaud and I'm okay with, because at the end of the day, you're still you.
Right.
So, you know, you might wear the big earrings. You might wear the long nails. You might, you know, wear your hair however you want to. You might walk and talk a certain way. And that does not change depending on where you are. You know, some people can switch up. You know, if they're at church, they're at work, if they're at the store, they at the club, they can switch it up. I feel like someone that's ratchet is the same seamlessly no matter where they are. And they're not ashamed of who
right.
they are. You're just going to take me as I am.
Right.
And if it doesn't work for you, then it's just a personal problem that you got to work with. That's
right.
the version of ratchetness that I'm okay with, that I completely support and I applaud, especially now because I guess, you know, you got Black Lives Matter and you have all these things going on systematically. So a person that can still be themselves and not have to adjust to what they want us to be, I applaud you. So I love me some City Girls, no matter how people feel about it. I still love them because at the end of the day, they are still them and they're showing you, you know, what they came from and what they know. and they're not adjusting it because you feel like I should be something that I have no idea how to tap into.
Right. I also think it comes with personal development.
Yeah.
Once you start learning that certain behaviors, it's not so much that it's not rather it's appealing to the world or not. I think it's more so if it's appealing to God. Mm. So most people are going to be them until they find themselves in God. If that makes sense. Yeah. So the ratchetness, I love it. I can't judge them. But it's like, damn, if they lit like this, just wait until they find God.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm with you on that too. You know what I mean? I applaud. But I won't say I applaud. No, I accept. But I'm also a bigger thinker. It's like, it's got to be more than this. Like, this is not all you're leveling yourself up to be. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm that person. But I also let it, I don't pay too much attention to that too. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I guess it depends on the individual. Like, I love Cardi B. You know what I'm saying? I think she's hilarious. I love her because she's real. So, the same with you, you know, like with City Girl, she's not fronting. You know what I'm saying? But the more she learns, because she's in different settings, the more she grows.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Because if you stay somewhere, you're going to always be limited to only what you know. Limited to what only what you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, if that makes sense. So,
yeah, it does.
You know, I got, you know, we got ghetto family members, ghetto cousins. You know, you like, these niggas is just ignorant as hell. You can't just... You can't judge them because they just don't know no better.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Or they don't want to know no better. They are so content with being a headache.
Yeah.
You know? So it's just, I don't know. Like, some people, I'm like, you know what? I can't be around this person because they are unhealthy and they make me unhealthy. So when I make, you know, when you lash out or, you know, you become unhealthy too. So it's like, you got this one cousin that's just always talking, won't be quiet. And then you start to develop some ungodly feelings like, yo, I'm about to punch this bra in her mouth if she don't shut up. You know what I'm saying? And you be arguing. Those are the type of people I can't be around.
Yeah.
Because I've died to that old person. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you be like, oh, I can't take it. But then you get to a level of maturity where it doesn't even bother you no more. You just look at them and you just be like, oh my goodness. Like, are you ever going to shut up? Like, are you ever going to get it? Nobody pays you attention. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's like when you get to the point and these people have their adult temper tantrums. This is, like, ridiculous. And age don't mean anything because you got 50-year-olds that do the same thing. You know what I mean?
If not older than that.
Huh?
If not older than that.
Right. You get 80-year-olds, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
you know what I'm saying? So I don't know. I think people are funny. I'm not a people person like that, but I enjoy watching people with no judgment because I'm not perfect at all, you know, by no means. But I enjoy watching people and their wretchedness, you know? And the most people, I think the people who use the word ratchet the most are the most ratchet people. They just don't know it. You know what I mean?
There are some people I've been around who use it a lot and they're not ratchet at all. I think they want to be ratchet.
You think they want to be ratchet?
Yeah, there's some people. There's some people that they want to be ratchet, they're not, but they use the word a lot. So yeah, there's two types of folks.
Yeah, it is. It's more than two types. But you yeah. know, the ones I come across, they're like, that bitch ratchet as hell, and I'd be like, you is too. But I'm not that ratchet. No, nigga, you ratchet.
You in the category, boo.
Like, you up there. You know, but I wouldn't know you up there, you know. So you know, I just, you know, I'm always, I'm a jokester. So I'm always like indirectly throwing shots for people to self-reflect. But I, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm joking. Like, dude, you ratchet too. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, but I like the huge, I'm fun. So I always like, you know, I'm breaking ice. You know what I'm saying? That's how I, you know, I'm just a joyful person. So it just be like, okay, you know. Or I call my friend and be like, yo, I just did some ratchet stuff. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever. And we'll be laughing about it, you know? Yeah. So I guess, you know, it'll just be, it's in you. Ain't no, some things just don't go away, no matter how, how high you accelerate, if that makes sense, mm-hmm. in any levels, whether it's financially, successfully, spiritually, whatever. You're going to always have certain things that's just in you. Because that's what makes you who you are. But I feel like self-control is how you tame it. You know, you ever heard a Christian, if it had caught me about 10 years ago, you know what I'm saying? Or you almost made me lose my religion. That's that ratchet. That's still in them. You know what I'm saying? But it comes with, I believe, self-control, like taming it. I think I'm going to be that old aunt or that old grandmother that be saying that. No, it's still in me. You know,
you got that one toe still in the street, honey.
I'm not all the way there yet, but I'm there. Yeah, I think I'm gonna be that old aunt that people be bragging about, like, my aunt, she real, but she a little touch. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't want to mess with her.
For sure. I think that's the beauty of it. You can still be, well, first of all, the Bible lets you know that God accepts you for who you are. But then also, right. God created me. God knew me.
Right. He know what he put out here on earth. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Like, he know me better than I know myself, honey, because I'm still learning. So.
Right.
I love that. But yeah, I feel as though there is a mesh in the two, because you can still be who you are. And that doesn't change how God loves you, how he corrects you, how he adjusts you. But like you said, certain people will still come in your space, and then you'll have to, you know, readjust yourself, because now you have the relationship with God. And I think that's where the Christianity, or as a whole, it's Christianity, but the spirituality of it, your closeness with God, the relationship you have with Jesus, that paired with, you know, I guess, ratchetness of, or the environment you come from and just who you've developed to be, I still feel like it can be paired together and it can come together, you know, beautifully. But at the same time, God isn't going to just, you know, throw you to the wolves because you're not holier than thou.
Right. Because here's the thing that people fail to realize. I think I offend a lot of people who are Bible readers, but God's word is offensive, but he says, don't be offensive, mm-hmm. right? So I love to challenge the people who always like to throw up Bible scriptures in a disagreement, or when they're trying to use a form of manipulation, the Bible, to control you to do something that they want you to do. Mm-hmm. And for me, I always ask, what level of glasses do you have on when you read the Bible? And then they'd be like, what? Because when I read the Bible, when I've read, it was a time in my life where I was going through some things. And I was just like, you know, I am going to read the Bible from the beginning to the end, right? And once I read the Bible and really took heed, I had to unlearn
so many things that I was taught that was wrong according to how God wants you to live and being like Jesus Christ, right? So they were like, well, what was it that we taught you that you had to unlearn that was so bad? You know what I'm saying? Oh, we'll be here all day if I was to talk about that. You know what I'm saying? But however, what I've learned, I chose to massively take action. You know what I'm saying? And apply it to my life. Like, I don't want to be, excuse me, because God still hasn't delivered me from cursing yet, but I'm working on it boldly. But I don't want to be a piece of shit. And I think that when people use the Bible to back up their own ignorance or their behaviors that they want to make okay with them, like, God don't like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, he does not like that. You can't sit up here and tell me this and that. So when you read the Bible tells you he wants you to have a relationship with him, period. And then once you learn, he wants you to become new and die to your old self. Mm-hmm. A lot of people still want to read the Bible and call themselves Christians and still want to live a way that's ungodly, but make up excuses why they did. Well, the Bible say da 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 da. I said, okay, well, what are you going to do with that? We can do this Bible thing, quote, scriptures for scriptures all day long, but what does that mean? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because I want to change. I want to be, but he doesn't judge you by the things that you do. He judges you by your heart.
Yeah.
So a lot of people that think they're going to heaven, nigga, is going to hell. You know what I'm saying? Because their heart ain't right.
But you know, but God know my heart though.
But God know, yes, that's the part that's so crazy when people say, but God know my heart. That's the scary part. Your heart is messed up.
That scares me. At this point, that scares me when people say this. Like,
yes, it's scary. I'd be like, oh my God, why is you saying that your heart is messed up?
Why are you comfortable with it though?
Why is you comfortable with that? You know what I'm saying? Like, girl, I thought I was the only one. I'd be like, Lord, please help them.
Right. Touch their heart.
Please, Lord, because if they saw what you saw, oh no. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, you know, I used to talk to people like, why are you talking to me like I need a heart check? I don't need no heart check. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And when I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do, I pray about it. Mm. Like, Lord. And I think when you get to a certain point on a level of respect with God, he becomes your best friend. Mm-hmm. If you do something wrong, he will not let your spirit rest.
Ooh.
Mm. You understand what I'm saying? And I can't tell you, honey, the last time I had to apologize to somebody for doing them wrong. Mm. I can't even tell you. You know, so that's all a part of living, you know, in greatness. And that constant prayer is, Lord, clean, giving, like, clean me a good heart and restoring me a new spirit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you, God gives you the power to speak to your mountains. The mountains don't move unless you speak to them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So people forget that too. So I just be like, what should I be going to church learning? You know what I'm saying? But we, if you still want to do this Bible thing, let me know.
I think I talked, me and my mom had this conversation probably about 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I had to tell her, like, do you realize that we pretty much generationally are teaching a habit?
Right.
Habit is go to church. Go to church.
Mm-hmm.
Go to church.
Go to church. Go to church.
Habit is not to create a relationship with God. So people go to church and then they become older and they realize, I really don't even know how to pray. Or I don't even really read my Bible or hear a Bible verse and I don't even know what that means, because you don't have your own relationship with God. You have
a
routine habit of walking into a building. And I think we have to, that's something we need to unlearn, is
right
into this building and really take time to figure out, like, who is God? Like, find the Bible verses that explains who God is, loving, never changing, merciful. For example, what is his, his grace is sufficient.
Yep.
That Bible verse, they say,
I don't know which one offhand, but I know what you're talking about.
That, what is it? His grace and mercy
is unending, never ending.
Yeah.
Unconditional. Yeah.
So it's not the actual Bible verse, and it's not where it's located. It's the words.
What does the words
mean? What does his mercy even mean? What, his loving kindness, what does that mean? Like, so we're going to church, you hear these words, you hear these Bible verses so much to the point where you know where the Bible verses are. You judge people when the pastor says, open up Philippians, and they don't know where Philippians is. That's not the importance. What's important is actually having the relationship with God and knowing who exactly God is. And if you don't know, and you listen to the podcast and you don't know who God is, just Google some Bible verses that are about God and start there and open up your Bible and start figuring out who is God. And another reason why that's so important is because you will hear things, especially on social media, Lord, you'll hear things on social media like God does this, or it'll be like a meme and it's about God, and it's so wrong, and you don't even know it's wrong, because you don't have your own relationship. So you don't know that, you know, some of the things that are out there or said about your God is actually incorrect because it's coming from ignorant people.
Right. I had a conversation not too long ago. One of my clients always wanted to invite me to her Bible study. And she has sent me a flyer. And the importance of having the Holy Spirit is just so rewarding.
That's
so the flyer
last episode on
the flyer was so disturbing. And I mean in a way where it said, come talk with me about Elohim, right? Now, Elohim is another name for God, but no one uses it. You very rarely ever hear that name, right? I've been binge pastors and stuff like that. I never hear them mention God in the word of Elohim, even though that is the name for him. You know what I'm saying? So my thing was, I had to ask her, well, who is, as if I was stupid, who is Elohim? And she said, oh, that's my God. I said, oh, your God. Is it everybody's God or just your circle of believers? And she said, yes. And I said, oh, well, when you pray, who do you pray to? She said, the mother of God. I said, what? She said, the mother of God. I said, God ain't got no mother. You know, I told you I'm a jokester, right? So I'm like, God ain't got no mother? She was like, yes, he do. I said, what Bible scriptures did you misinterpret that God has a mother? And she said, well, if you Google it. I said, no, I don't want to Google. Ooh. I want you to tell me, what Bible scriptures did you read that made you misinterpret that God has a mother? God is the beginning and the end. There's no one before him and there will be no one after him. She said, well, this is why I want you to come to my Bible study. I said, nah, nigga, I'm not coming to your Bible study. y'all niggas got something else going on.
You talking to folks I don't even know about.
Girl, she was like, well, if you just read, no, I want to see it in the Bible. I don't want no link on Google. I don't want no Scientology, no theology, mm-hmm. none of that. I want word, baby. And she said, well, don't worry about it. I said, oh, I'm not worried. I'm just trying to figure out where did you find it? That's all I want to know. That's all I want you to tell me is where is it at? Girl, she said, you're not listening. I said, no, if you want to go to Bible study, we can have Bible study while I'm curling your hair. See, here's the difference. If you want to know who God is, you have to start in the book of John, right? And in the book of John is going to tell you who Jesus Christ is. Mm. And then if you go over to Leviticus, Leviticus is going to tell you who the Holy Spirit is. Mm. And then you can go back to Genesis. It's going to tell you who God is again. Mm-hmm. Then I want you to go over to James, and James is going to tell you not how to not become a product of destruction. Mm-hmm. And then I want you to go over to Revelations and listen to the spirit of Jezebel, because you're under something that's called manipulation and control of who God is. And do you know, she got up and left. See, her demon wasn't ready for my spirit. You hear me? She left. So let me know if you still need to have Bible study. Never saw the girl again.
And that's where I feel like today's time is so great that we can be who we are.
Right.
And still be in the kingdom, because had you been, you know, more passive and, you know, I don't want to say holy, because some of them holy folks is...
You're the worst one.
Yeah, they were aggressive. But but you can still be who you are, say it in a nice way, and correct someone, and they, oh, that's fine. You ain't got to take what I gave you.
At all.
To fight you. I think people think that when we have these conversations, we have to be defensive and fight. I'm not fighting you at all, because in the morning when I get up, and at night when I go to bed, I know who I'm talking to.
Right.
I'm going to continue to keep talking to who I'm talking to, because we good. We tight. Right. That, you know, Holy Spirit, my friend. Jesus is, that's like the homie right there. And then God is.
Girl, listen. Everything.
So.
Everything. I feel, you know, I be feeling so sad for people who don't know him. The people who don't want to know him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's so many people that say they believe in God and they want to call all the people for advice, but they don't want to read the Bible themselves.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying? Why you don't want to read it for yourself? Why you just depending on what I say? You know what I'm saying?
I think that some people get, without knowing it, I think that maybe they're a little nervous.
Because they don't want to change.
Because you don't know, when that word gets into you, you don't really know what's going to happen. So you was so cool every Saturday going here. When you start mm-hmm. reading that Bible, that Saturday location is going to be a problem. And it's not going to be a problem like... people think it's gonna be a problem. It's gonna be a problem with your spirit. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I don't want to go there.
Right.
I don't want to go there. I don't want to stop calling me to go there. I don't want to go there. You don't even know why you don't want to go there. You just don't want to go there.
Right. Don't even know why.
Yeah, I just can't. I can't do it. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't align with who you're becoming. It doesn't align with your spirit. I'm fine with that. I know. I was just talking to Brittany the other day about this. Sometimes when you go places and you sit in there and you just uncomfortable and you don't know why you uncomfortable, because you don't need to be in that room. That ain't
right. Yep.
So the folks that don't have that in them and mm-hmm. you live this life every day and you're comfortable with it, you're scary to me. You have to get away from me.
That is dangerous.
You live in a thuggish life, and I don't want any parts of it
at all. It's so dangerous. You'd be like, no, ma'am. No, sir. And then you come back, like, I remember going through, as I was going through my transformation, right? And the bars became boring to me. And I'm telling you, I used to go out every weekend, okay? I used to find bars, girl, that shouldn't even been open on Sundays. Okay? Just, I used to throw birthday parties every year for my birthday, like big ones, as if it was like holiday, okay? But once I started transforming, it became very uncomfortable, mm-hmm. boring. You know what I'm saying? So where it just became my going out now is sitting at some fancy restaurant with a glass of wine. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Where I was a big, like, I can drink down most men. You know what I'm saying? And I can't even drink alcohol sometimes because it just tastes nasty. You know what I'm saying? So people have to go through their own transformation, but I think they have to hit somewhere in their life where they be like, at some point, this ain't how God want me to be living. Yeah. There's something better for me. And if you realize when you're in sin, do you realize how life... Liz, you be, you always draining, mm-hmm. or you're always unhappy, or you always like on edge. But then when you fall in alignment with God, like nothing can trigger you. I ain't seen no great results of living in sin as for me to, more reasons for me to fall on my knees. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I don't know.
I feel like problems start coming, like, from every direction. Like, yeah. Even if you think you got your day planned, now you on your way to work and it's the flat side.
Yeah.
I check my bank account, I'm overdraft. Like, I used to have so many stupid situations that with you saying that, it just dawned on me, I ain't dealt with none of that. In a long time.
Right. Yes, in a long time. A very long time.
Yeah, and it's like things just start, you know, once you start in a line with God, then things, not that problems don't come, because they still come, but things are more seamless.
Right, and you know how to handle them.
Yeah.
When they come, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just the God in you that allows you to know that no matter what, he's in control, not you, you know? in that your life don't belong to you.
Mm.
You know, it belongs to him. And the sooner you get that, the better off you will be, you know?
You know, I'm learning. I've heard this mission so many times that I just went on and told God, okay, this is the year I'm gonna step into it. But like you said, your life isn't yours, right?
Right.
And also, you're not doing things for you either. So I'm trying to wrap my mind around. Wait. So my life is tied to God. So my life isn't mine, but then also the things you have me do aren't for me.
They're for him.
Yeah, and they're to get to someone else.
Oh, yes. It's
always a trickle effect. So if God is telling me to do something and I'm not fully stepping into what it is he told me to do, I'm being selfish and I'm holding back people that are tied to what I'm supposed to do. Now they can't get what they get because Sharina decided to be selfish and not fully step into what God told her to. That right there is just been eating me alive.
Right. So I'm about to piggyback on everything else and this is going to blow your mind too. So deliberate mediocrity is a sin. Did you know that? So when God puts something on your heart, your ideas aren't your ideas, they're God's ideas, right? So when he says,
oh, Sharina, you know what? You need to start doing these podcasts. You need to rebrand yourself or rebrand yourself in the light. And you'd be like, oh, not this month. I'm going to do it next year. You're rejecting God's gift that he gave you. And God said, if you don't use my gifts to be a source of light and inspiration, then he'll take them from you.
Right.
And give them to somebody else that's not even as dope as you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You be sitting there like, damn, I had that on my mind. I could have did that, but you didn't move. Didn't move when God told you to move. So he was like, nope, I'm going to go give it to somebody else because you playing with my time. Do you know that's how he actually moved? When Jesus Christ was out here performing miracles, he didn't stay long. He did what he had to do and he moved. He kept going.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, okay, God, now before you put me, this was my prayer. Before you put me in position, process me, build me. So that knowing that the higher I accelerate, the more problems, the more haters, you know, whatever. Give me the shoulders to carry what comes with this.
Yeah.
So I don't mishandle what I prayed for. If that makes sense. So you can identify Satan when you show up. That is where you become powerful. You know, the devil ain't gonna know what to do with you once you keep moving when God tells you to move, because God don't have time for you to say, wait a minute, I ain't ready yet. You gotta have stamina, speed, and strength to be like, okay, God, now is the time. You said now. It ain't got to be perfect. It ain't got to do, you know, we be thinking, oh, it's got to be perfect. It's got to look a certain way. That's not how God works. He just wants you to know that everything you do has to be in the glorify of God. And that's when I really realized that I have always been in my purpose, but not doing what I was supposed to do in my purpose. I was being self-led instead of being God-led. And once you hit a revelation, sometimes God will redeem your time so that you can do what he wants you to do. You just got to take self out of it.
Yeah.
Because you could be chasing something for so long and never catch it because that's not what God called you to do.
Right.
You know, so that's why we got to be very careful in knowing who we are and what our assignment is. You know, that's what I learned in 2020. You know, 2020 was a blessing for me. I don't know, you know what I'm saying? Some it hasn't been. But for me, 2020 has brought the inner gangster out of me. Where I had that moment, it was like, okay, like God had to bring me back somewhere, take me back to where I came from so that I could become the person that he designed me to be. And I wasn't afraid to go back. That's the blessing. That's the message of it all. But I think it's, you know, you have to get there, you know. Because if you know for the long, when you're trying to do what you're trying to do, it don't work and it don't last long.
At all.
You know? So sometimes the wait, they say it's worth the wait. If you read in the Bible, it was a lot of blessed people who missed the good life. As you know, we call it the good life. But there's a lot of people in the Bible who had a good life but missed out on a great life because they wasn't obedient. But God still blessed them because they still did what he wanted them to do, but they weren't able to get God's greatness because they weren't obedient. So God always say obedience is worth more than sacrifice. Yep.
Any day.
Yes.
I think, was it, it was, I'm going to tell you, who was it in the Bible? They were both kings, I believe. And one was humble, and the other one was prideful. But they both had the same, had the opportunity to have the same life and keep it. But one said, God created me a new spirit. Well, something I said, created me a new heart, clean my heart and created me a new spirit. And the other one was prideful. So the other king was actually able to be exalted because he was humble, and the other one wasn't. So he lost everything. So yeah, it was one, I can't remember what book of the Bible was, but I do remember reading something like that. But they both were powerful men, but one lost it because he was prideful and the other one was humble. So he said, Lord, I did wrong, but change me so that I can get it right. And God gave it to him. You know, I mean, Jesus was a gangster. If you really read, like, if when you read and you read how he handled people, I mean, you'd be like, dang, and all this time I'm out here cussing people out and acting crazy. And I'm faced with the same things that Jesus Christ was faced with.
Yeah.
The difference was Jesus knew who he was and he never kept his eye off his vision and his mission. Mm-hmm. And the closer he got to his vision, he dropped people off along the way. Remember, he started with 12, mm-hmm. and got to the mountaintop with only 3. Mm-hmm. And then he said, y'all niggas couldn't stay asleep for what? Y'all couldn't stay woke for 1 hour? And Jesus expressed that he was stressed out because he knew he was about to die. But he knew he was about to die for greater. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So sometimes people think they need a whole boatload of people to help them carry out their mission when all they need is God. And God is the source, and he will supply the resources.
But ain't that how it always is? You start business idea with multiple people. When it launches, it's less. You can plan a trip. Jesus, you can plan a trip. And by the time you get to that airport, it's probably one person next to you.
Girl, all the time.
It's always like that. You think you have a squad of friends, and the older you get, the more the drop off. That is exactly how it goes.
Yep. So I had learned that the hard way. You know, but once I got it, I got it. You know, I really got it. Yeah. And I'm comfortable. I'm happy here. And then this time around, I said, Lord, I need you to surround me with some spiritual people. I need some spiritual sisters. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, because I'm always the motivator or the encourager. I consider myself a source of, you know, love and inspiration. But we also need that too. Because sometimes I get off of work, girl, I be so mentally drained from mm-hmm. all the crap that I hear mm-hmm. throughout my day. And I be like, oh my God, Lord, you know. And then once I just randomly came across Brittany Page, and here I am, you know, with a whole bunch of women who are chasing after God's best. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, wow. And I'm not even apologizing for some of the friends I didn't let off, because I felt like, you know what made me realize, I didn't start realizing darkness about some of the friendships that I had until I became, you know, in peace and grounded with God. And the other day I had to say, dang, I've been friends with these people for like 10 plus years. Was I that dark that I couldn't see mm-hmm. that these people really weren't my friends, or they was messed up like this? You know what I'm saying? It made me think about myself, because, you know, I never want to be that person like, oh, when you get to a certain place, you forget about the people that was around you. It's not that. It's just
my spirit won't allow me to connect with them anymore. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, dang, was I really this blind? Or was I dark myself that I could, or was I too consumed with myself that I didn't realize this? You know what I'm saying? Like, I was just, you know, self-reflecting. So, you know, that's just where I was at. And I'm just happy with the decisions I've made in these last, I want to say 6 months. I've just been, you know, really evaluating a lot of things. And I'm like, oh, well, this is probably another revelation for me. You know, that's how I looked at it.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So that's what I needed. I said, Lord, give me what I need this round.
I said a prayer similar to that. More so about like being around, I just wanted to be around women where the conversation was different. Mm-hmm. I was thinking more so like God would give me friends, you know. Mm-hmm. That's what I thought.
Right.
And then, so for those that don't know, we are with It Works. So we are It Works sisters. And I think we joined like around the same time, right? Like a few days mm-hmm. apart.
Yes.
And it's crazy that we both did like similar prayers, but mine was I just wanted the conversation to be different, but also like you said, like I'm the motivator, the encourager, but honey, I'm drained from work and I'm drained when it comes to being the shoulder to lean on, and then sometimes I don't have a shoulder to lean on, or
right.
Sometimes I can talk to my boyfriend, but you know how men are, like, they have listening anyway. Yeah. It's like, sometimes you just need someone to fill you back up.
Right.
And because at some point I can't, like, I gotta shut off. Like, I'm sorry, I ain't got enough for y'all. My cup is so empty, it's dry.
Hello.
Hit me back later. You don't get too much of Sharinda advice, and I don't know what that's gonna sound like. So
right,
give me like 24 hours and I'll be able to help you. But yeah, I said like the same kind of prayer. So crazy.
Yep. I did. I was just like, Lord, I just need, and then you know, like I said, he's the source, so he provides the resources. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes you get what you get and what you need to get from people, and then that's it. And then sometimes you have lifetime relationships, and still seasonal relationships. You know what I mean? But I chose to be non-negotiable with anything that doesn't serve my person, my purpose moving forward. I don't care who it is, whether it's business ships, relationships, you know, friendships, whatever, anything that ends with the word ship, it has to be beneficial to where God is taking me.
Yeah.
And not necessarily like cutting people off, because you never know who you will need, or, you know, different things. Like, it's just learning to put people in categories. Mm-hmm. And I'm not explaining myself in 2021. My word, I didn't have no New Year resolution or anything, but my word for this year that I wanted to focus was discipline. Mm. And, you know, those words, consistency, discipline, alignment, those words work with each other. Mm-hmm. So it was learning to gain self-control and be disciplined. And I think my biggest problem is my mouth, feeling like I always have to explain why I do something or why I don't do anything. Mm-hmm. And 9 times out of 10, if a person has their own agenda or motive or their expectations, they don't even care why. They just only see their point of view. So it's just me silently removing myself.
Yeah,
I'm tired of explaining why another person is a piece of crap, or why another person makes me feel a certain kind of way or whatever. You know what I'm saying? I need tunnel vision right now. And it's discipline with everything. You know, me getting up and talking to God first before I do anything, before I pick up my phone, before, you know, that's called discipline. You know, so that's what I chose to focus on in all areas, mentally, physically, spiritually, and financially.
Mm. I like that. Mine is apply pressure.
Apply pressure, okay. Mm.
I just need to, for me, I always like revert to my shell and like, I guess make myself small. So I need to apply pressure and really push myself to really start stepping into the fullness of who I was created to be.
Right. Yep, and I told you, you asked God to give you those that strength and that wisdom and that let him process you so that you can handle your acceleration. You know what I mean? Because things is going to be sent your way. Just look at the things that be sent our way when we're not moving at our highest. And we think we're moving at our highest, and we really not.
Not close.
Not even close. You know what I'm saying? So just imagine what he will do and how he will protect you when you start moving in your highest. And you're going to be like, oh my gosh, I can't even handle all of this. You know what I mean? So, you know, I think you'll be, the first part is acknowledging where you need to get strong at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you can't do it without God's help
and his lead.
You know what I mean? Because remember, we could be chasing some things that is not what we're supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
because it's shiny and it looks like where we're supposed to be.
Now check this out. You said it's shiny, right? And it's not really what it looks like. Girl, I watched a sermon this morning called Oil Change. And the pastor was talking about how he had this car and it was shiny and it was glistening, you know, when he was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And the wheels was shiny. And he was just riding through the town, blasting his music. And then the car started smoking. And he needed an oil change. So basically he was saying, like, you could be moving through life and you pretty and you all dialed up and you got the ice and you got the drip, but you empty on the inside.
Girl, that's a word.
Stop. Ain't that a word? ain't that a word?
Ooh, that's a word.
Girl, that's a word, okay? And then we on in social media. Social media can be so detrimental if you don't have the right vision when you surfing the net. Because everybody that's glitz and glittering ain't really what they appear to be, you know, on the inside. And so when you wonder, you be like, well, why, you know, certain collaborations don't work out? Well, why? You know, this person ain't connecting with me. And God like, uh-uh, that ain't what I'm trying to get you surrounded in.
Mm-hmm.
So it don't necessarily mean something wrong with you. It just might be something wrong with them.
Or their argument. Some people don't really necessarily care who they attract.
Because they chasing clout.
Yeah.
It's all about the dollar.
So that audio, you know, ain't out of line with what you got going on.
Right. Listen, I don't want everybody in my circle. My mom always told me that I was higher on people. And it's always a reason why.
Mm-hmm.
You only got one time to show me you a piece of shit. I don't need no more confirmations. Not a second one, not a third one.
not a fourth one, that one time means a lot.
Yeah.
Because if that one time is not followed up with change behavior, a person is going to always do and be who they are.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, you know, I don't judge. I just listen. Where do you see God moving in your life during this time?
Let's see. I see God moving financially first. And that doesn't necessarily mean like income increase. That's where the discipline's gonna come into play. I already feel that coming. But I think it's probably mentally strengthening. Okay, as soon as I said that, I saw like lifting weights. So, you know, like when you're lifting weights, like you do a few and it's hard. So then you want to stop and then you go back and you do a few more. And
right.
That's the strengthening that I think God is going to work on me this year. I think we're about to go through like a weight training. That's what it's called.
Right. Yeah. I feel God moving with me in this period is on my insecurities.
Mm.
Yeah. I feel like once I was able to identify my insecurities is when God started really working on me and showed me why they became my insecurities. So now you have to attack them, basically. And that's where I see him moving at, because I feel like he has moved in other places in my life. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's where I said this year I was focused on discipline.
That's a good area, because what people don't realize is they don't do the work to tap into what insecurities they have and why.
Right.
And they don't realize as they're going through life, their perception of any and everything that comes to them, their response is always from that space of insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
so when it comes to solving problems, you can't solve the problem if you don't see the problem.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I've always admired myself being big enough to handle self-evaluation,
mm-hmm.
because of me inspiring to be great. I don't know why this has always been something. As a kid, I always dreamed big. I always wanted to be big. And when I say big, I'm not meaning in the culture aspect. Mm-hmm. I mean big in God, like spiritually. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was arguing with my little brother, and I said, dude, I don't even know why I'm allowing you to get on my nerve. I'm big. I always move big. You know what I'm saying? And it was then when I said that, how left the argument went. Like, it was no more an argument. Like, he couldn't even have a rebuttal to that.
Because what do you say? What do you say to that? Oh, okay.
I've always, I told you my mouth, girl, is either my greatest gift or my downfall. Mm. I'm quick. You know what I'm saying? Like, girl. You know, it's like I said, I gotta learn the discipline, the self-control. It's like, I gotta learn to shut up. Either way, you know what I'm saying? Whether it's negative, positive, it's just knowing when to shut up is my biggest thing. Because my mouth, I'm telling you, I even tell my mom, like, Mom, And she'd be like, did you really say that? And I'm like, yeah, I didn't think about it till afterward. Like, dang, that was effed up. You know what I'm saying? Like, I told you my thing is I don't never want nobody to misunderstand me. So I'm going to always be clear.
Yeah.
You know, I think it is very disrespectful to yourself and disrespectful to who you stand for if you always like, I ain't going to say nothing because I don't want a person to be, to feel a certain kind of way. But you feeling some kind of way because you're not telling this person how you feel. I don't want that torture. No, I'm going to let you know how I feel. I'm just learning. I need to learn how to be more gentle with my delivery, if that makes sense.
I think some women can really come on blunt. I feel like I do sometimes.
Yeah, I'm very blunt. I don't have no gray areas. I don't even understand them.
I think I'm so much of a straight shooter, like, it irritates when people try to, you know, like, go around the bush. Like, no, I'm not running around the bush with you. Just straight. Let's just, like, what do you want? What is it?
Girl, I thought I was the only one. Like, I don't like small talk. I really don't. Let me know why you're talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, there was, I don't really do the messenger or the DM thing. You know, I rarely respond to them. And, you know, somebody came in my DM, was like, oh, you know, whatever, whatever. And so he was asking 1,000 questions. So I literally started getting annoyed. I'm like, are you trying to sell me your services or are you trying to, you know, what you're trying to do? And he was like, oh, no, I just wanted to know what you thought your purpose was in life. I said, why do you care about what my purpose is in life? What is your purpose for talking to me, engaging in conversation? Like, we can skip all the small talk and just let me know if you're trying to sell me your services. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And he like never responded, said, never mind, no thank you. You didn't want anything. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like for me, that's good because it always lets you know where a person's angle is.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I think we need to keep some of that hardness also.
Yes, because God also says guard your heart.
Yeah.
You know, if it's genuine, you don't got to do all of that. Less is always more, you know? And I'm learning that too. Less is more, you know, say less. And one thing my father always said to me, and I didn't understand it until now, maybe like 4 years ago. And he said, you know what your problem is? And I'm like, oh, what, Dad? He said, you know what? You talk too much. You too nice, and you talk too damn much. And I'm like, Dad, what are you talking about? And I used to think my dad was like such an angry, bitter man. But when I look back on how he lived his life, my father was very pristine and unapproachable for bullshit. I never seen my father argue with anybody. I never seen him engage in any drama. You never knew if this man was sad or mad or if anything bothered you. He had the same aura for everything. And he said, why do you feel like you gotta cuss people out all the time or tell people how you feel? Do you actually think that people really care? And I'm like, oh, they gonna know how I feel, Dad. They ain't gonna play with me. You know? And he just would shake his head and was like, you don't listen. And I'm like, he said, you're only giving your power away.
Mm.
He said, I'm raising you to be a powerful Black woman. When I love you and I give you love, I'm loving you with supreme intelligence, not ignorance. When I get done raising you, you're going to be every man's dream. And every woman's nightmare, if you just listen. And I did not know what that meant at the age of 18. But had I took heed to that advice a long time ago, girl, I probably would have dodged a lot of bullets, okay? But he said, you're only giving your power away.
Mm-hmm.
Silence is power. If a person don't know what makes you mad, or what makes you tick, they can't fuck with you.
That is so true.
Always be a mystery, not an open book.
That is so true.
I was like, and it wasn't until like I was like 32 or 33. And I was like, wow. And when I look back, me and my stepmother or me and my older brother, we'll always talk about how you could, we was his kids and he still was a mystery to us. My father died 5 years ago and we're still unlocking puzzles. Like, this man was deep. You know what I'm saying? We didn't even know who this man, all we knew, we didn't really know who he was. We only know what he displayed. You know what I mean? So I was like, wow. And then when you read the Bible and how God tells you to live, it's kind of like an alignment. It's just mm-hmm. different words.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I was thinking when you said it.
You know? So I was just like, wow. That's exactly what God tells you. Don't offend. God said, why argue with a fool? You only become a fool when you argue with a fool. So nobody will ever be able to know who's the fool because you both look like fools arguing.
You had to come down to their level. So now who's the fool? Y'all on the same level.
Y'all on the same level. Yep. So that's just where I'm at right now is learning. It's funny how God, when God sees that you're chasing him, how he allows your life to play like a movie where he takes you back to something somebody said to you as a confirmation as to what he's trying to tell you to do.
Mm.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
I was like, oh man, I missed that word. You know what I'm saying? Like, my aunt said that to me like 20 years ago. You know what I'm saying?
You'd be
so consumed in thinking you right about everything that you don't listen. And that's why it says be slow to speak and quick to listen.
Yeah.
How many words you miss by not listening? I know I missed a lot. Like, dang, my dad was trying to tell me that. And for him, I told you my father was strict. So a lot of things I would look at, the stuff that he was saying was like, oh, that's coming from the worldly aspect. But it really wasn't. Yeah, that's what I was looking at. Like, oh, wow. So God has a purpose for everybody, I believe.
I agree with that. And I don't think it matters what type of, like, who you are. For example, Jesus was hanging with everybody. So everybody but the holy. Let's be honest. Jesus was out there in the streets collecting folks. He wasn't.
No, he wasn't collecting them. Mm-mm. He made himself seen. True. And they draw to him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he didn't stay long. He was passing through. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? People get that misinterpreted. Oh, well, he hung with this and he hung with that. No, he made himself seen. And they light don't gravitate to darkness. Darkness gravitates to light.
Yeah.
So he only performed many miracles, but not all miracles. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. But he didn't push anybody away either.
No, he didn't. Mm-mm.
He didn't say, oh, you're this, or oh, you dress this way, or you're like that.
The one lady that they was trying to kill because she had slept with a married man or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, who here has not sinned? Nobody could say nothing. Whoever here has not sinned, you cast the first stone. Ain't that some G stuff?
Wasn't it? Like, I'm waiting.
I'm waiting for what are you?
I want you to pick up the rock.
I want Please. You to pick up a rock. I want you to pick up a rock. I dare you. And nobody could pick up a rock. So he looked at the lady, he said, go and sin no more. And he kept it moving.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, he didn't do a lot of talking. He did a lot of displaying. And this will tell you something else too. This is about to blow your mind. Jesus Christ went to John the Baptist and asked John the Baptist to baptize him. Jesus Christ is the Almighty. He the top. Mm-hmm. He the big dog, right? He went to John, who's nobody, to baptize him. Humble. And John like, you want me to baptize you, Jesus? He said, yeah. So everybody was getting baptized by John. But God said, when I touch you, I'm going to bring some fire. So sometimes people are in these high positions and they're afraid to go to the next best thing that they may need somebody. Because they think they're already, you know, sustained or high and mighty, that they can't help. They can't ask for someone else's help. But that becomes a true leader when you say, hey, I'm going to go to her because I know she's doing the same thing. Let me ask her to help me. Iron sharpens iron, right? Now you got a hater going back to John like, yo, Jesus Christ is taking your followers. You know what I'm saying? But John knew who he was. He said, no, my place is right here. So I can't even rock with Jesus. I can't even try and compete with him.
Right.
But what they didn't know that Jesus asked John to baptize him. And John still was successful and he still did what he was called to do. He was John the Baptist. You know, the Bible, how it relates to today is so crazy, and people will be foolish if they did not read it. It's really it's the key to life.
Yeah.
It's really the key to life. And I'd rather be humble and be exalted than have to be humbled and exhilarated, if that makes sense. People are afraid of humility. I'm not, you know, it's crazy. I mean, shoot, Jesus let you know his emotions throughout the whole entire time. And he knew he had a snake on his hands and never addressed them. He just said, Satan, get thee behind me. And gave him his last supper.
That's so hard.
I said, this nigga was a G. I'm going to negate that nigga nothing. You going to eat this. You ain't getting a crumb. You ain't getting nothing. Get out of here.
No, why? Don't take your shoes off at the door because you about to walk back out.
But look, Judas hung himself. He killed himself.
Yeah.
Because he was so messed up of how he did Jesus. And Jesus still showed him love. He couldn't even live with himself. Because he thought he was going to get some money for turning Jesus in. And he didn't even enjoy the wealth because he killed himself.
And how many times did we still see that story play out today?
Today. Crazy. Today.
It's still crazy.
That's why I'm like, yo, the Bible will really give it to you. He will really give it to you. I think my faith had became so strong when I read the book. I think it was Abraham, where God said, take your son to the altar and kill him. And this was his son. He loved his son, and his son didn't know that his father was about to kill him. And when he brought him to the altar and he was going to do it, God said, stop. It was the obedience for God. That he put his own self away for God. That's crazy. Not crazy, but powerful.
Yeah.
It's like basically what God is saying to us right now. If you just die to self and get out the way, I'm going to give you more. We be our own downfall. Our own enemy. It don't be the enemies around us. It be within ourselves.
And be the first one talking about the devil this, the devil that.
The devil this and the devil that. And I'm not giving that nigga the credit over nothing. I don't even know him.
No, no. But you did all that.
I did that. I'm sorry, God.
Let me humble myself to get myself together.
Let me get my shit together, okay? Yeah, for real.
I love their relationship, God and Abraham, and then I also love the relationship of David.
And yes.
I think it's one thing to read the stories. There's so much you can get out of a lot of people in the Bible, but just the relationship they had. Like, David was still himself. I really love David because David was still himself. He was not always right, but God still loved him no matter what. And David still was after God's own heart. Even though he wasn't right.
Right.
You know, impregnated your best friend's wife and sent your best friend to go get killed. Like, the story's crazy, but they still had, and none of that changed the relationship that they had. David still humbled himself. He still went to God. That, to me, was the story that I think growing up, they always tell you about David and Goliath. You know, that's one story. But David, the man, is what really taught me more as I got older. Like, you know, I may not be perfect. I may not do everything right. But just out of that story alone, that tells me I can still have a relationship with God. I'm not, you know, thrown to the wayside. He's still here with me.
Ooh, child, that episode was so good to me. I just wanted to take a moment to say thank you so much for listening to this episode of Cocktails and Combo podcast. Now meet me over at xoxosharina.com/blog/episode7 to let me know what you thought about this episode. Once again, thank you so much for listening. Until next week, bye.